Accession number 31444, Mr. Fred Gosling, Reel 1. Could you tell me when and where you were born, Mr. Gosling?
Yes, I was born in St Mary's Hospital, Paddington.
And what was the date?
7/11/1935.
And could you tell us a bit about your family background? Were you living in the Paddington area, the family?
Or yeah, we was living in the Paddington area.
And tell us a bit about your parents.
My father was in the Royal Artillery. And I didn't see much of him, you know, because he was away all the time because of the war. And my mum, she was a bus clippy.
And were you comfortably off? How well off were you as a family, would you say?
Wasn't that off, was just got by, I suppose.
And what kind of house were you living in Paddington?
It was a block tenement-like thing, sort of, like the whole family there, like the grand, the granddad, and sisters and brothers and
in
all that.
In different flats?
Yeah, in different flats and all that.
Did it have the modern facilities? For then?
Well, for then it was, but the bath, there wasn't no bath. It was just a tin and that.
What, by the bath type? Yeah, by the fire kind of thing?
Fill up the bath and tip it out the back.
And, you were only four. I mean, you were growing up there. You were only four when the war started then. Do you have any memories at all of the day war broke out? Or is it just
not when it broke out. Didn't have much idea about that. But gradually as I got older than that, then I knew about it.
Now, where were you living? Did you stay there from 39?
No. We moved quite a bit, round and round.
Whereabouts?
We moved to Frognall, Broadhurst Garden. That's where we got bombed out in Broadhurst Garden.
And where is Frognall?
Frognall's up Hampstead.
Yes, I know it.
Yeah.
So you just went up the hill a bit then?
Yeah. Now, yeah, we're just moving around and around, to different places, isn't it?
But generally in the Paddington, Hampstead, Frognall area?
Yeah. Well, we moved back to West Hampstead, to Broadhurst Gardens, and that's like when we got bombed out there.
Now, what effects did the war have on your life as a kid, do you think? We'll come to the bombing later.
Well, it changed you a lot, from when the war started to when it finished and that. It was a lot of, stressful, really, as a kid, isn't it? Because you're on the move all the time.
Were you evacuated?
Yes.
Before they were bombed out? Or?
No, after we got bombed out.
So, did you have an air raid shelter at either Hampstead or West Hampton?
We had an Anderson shelter in the garden.
Now, a lot of people don't. I mean, I know they're very common.
Yeah.
You still have them in some gardens. But what was an Anderson? What was it like for you as a kid to be in there?
Well, it was half full of water all the time. Mostly, it was a hole dug in your garden with galvanised sheeting put over the top, then the earth put on top of that. Then you had, bunks in there, canvas bunks and that. But most of the time it was, open and that, and it got flooded if it rained. You had to go knee-deep in the water and sit on your bunk.
It was that deep?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Well, you were only little, but, yeah. At the time.
Yeah, but still come up, grown-ups used to come up to their knees.
So, a foot deep at foot.
Yeah.
Did anyone try and drain it?
Well, you did with buckets and that, but...
But you didn't dig drainage channel?
No, there was no drainage channel, nothing there.
And what was it like in there? We're full of water and...
Oh, really damp. Yeah, damp and that. You had candles and that. The gran used to heat bricks up in the oven, wrap them up in towels, and that was your water bottles.
And would you go in there often?
When the sirens went, your gran made you go out there then, into them. Otherwise, he was under the stairs.
And what about the blackout? Were you aware of the blackout and how it was done in your...
Oh, yeah. Like, the old warden used to go around, shouting out if you had a chink of light coming. Saying, F that curtain.
They really did that, then.
Yeah.
It's not just the telly now. Remember it happened.
It's a shout-out, yeah.
And how did your parents do it? I mean, was it... Or your mum, because how did they do it? I mean, was it with a block frame that they put in the window, or was it curtains?
No, it's curtains, black curtains. You just shut them off with black curtains, and it. Well, all your windows taped anyway for bomb blasts and that,
You didn't have a Morrison inside the house as well?
No.
Now, when did your dad go away? He was in the Royal Artillery. Did he join up during the war, or was he called up?
No, he went into the war. I don't know if he was called up or not, because much... Yeah, I didn't know much with him and that.
Was it difficult with your dad going away like that? Do you think it affected you?
Well, I think it was really, because during that time, like, my mum and dad had split up, you know, like, when we got evacuated, we only see him once or in the blue moon, and it.
Now, so, did you miss him when he was away?
Well, to tell you the truth, I didn't really know him all that much.
Now, so, what about rationing? Did that affect you much as a family?
We had rationing books and that, and you could only have so much on a ration book, like meat, butter or something like that. You had your own ration books.
Did you think you suffered from that, or...?
I think we did, because the only time when we really got over that was like when we was evacuated.
Were there many in the past? I should have asked. Do you have any brothers and sisters?
Yeah, I had two brothers. One brother and two sisters.
Now, what about schooling? You'd start school at about 5, 1940.
Yeah, that was there was a little place in off of Finchley Road. There was a little school on the hill. But I wasn't there long because of the bombing and that. Now, most of my schooling was done in the country.
Now, tell us about what the air raids were like, you know, for you, and we'll and then the bombing out.
Well, me and my brother used to enjoy them. as soon as the sirens used to go, we used to go in the light the shelters and that. We used to like, you could hear the old shrapnel zipping around. And we used to like running out trying to get the shrapnel and that. But like the old girls used to do her pieces.
But so you weren't, it didn't scare you at all?
No, well, it did sometimes with, when you heard the bombing and that, then like you had bombs at first, then you'd start having them doodle bugs and all that after that. That's the one that frightened you more.
Tell us about when you were bombed. When were you bombed out?
I can't remember the date when we were bombed out, but we lived in Broadhurst Gardens. We backed onto the track of West Hampshire Station. Now the track there. We was on there and the bomb dropped, or the doodle bug dropped opposite on the other houses.
So if it's a doodle bug, it's quite late in the war.
Yeah.
So tell me what you remember of it. I mean, were you in the shelter?
No, we was in the house when it went. Well, you just hear the drone of the engine, and then it stopped. Then everybody just said, oh, I wonder where that's landing. And it was just off over the road from us. And the railway took our blast, but the people on that side, they copped it, you know.
And how much damage, what was the blast like for you? I mean, I know, I understand that the blast, most of it missed your house, but some of
it... No, it took the house. It took, well, my mother went out to see where it went, and she landed up on the gate, on the back door, and shot up the garden on the back of the, yeah, when the blast took her.
And how much damage had been done to the house?
Oh, they had to come and dig us out, you know, from the place.
Were you buried in it? What do you remember?
Well, no, we weren't buried right deep in it. No, we had, like, these workmen and that come round getting us out of the place. Then, like, they took us to the RAP.
You couldn't get out on your own accord?
Oh, no, not the
So what damage had happened? I mean, can you paint
the
picture for us?
The doors and the windows had gone, you know, because we were, like, near the stairs and that, under the stairs and that. But they just cleared all the entrance so we could get back out of it.
Now, under the stairs, that was... The classic place where
yeah.
it was strong.
Or under the table.
And you were
the
under the
stairs.
The old
kitchen table, yeah.
Were you scared? How did you feel when, I mean, a bit trapped in there?
Yeah, we were scared then, you know, we're crying our eyes out. But then they took us over to the RAP place, ARP place, and they gave us cherries in it. We'd never seen cherries before in that life.
And what else happened at the RAP place?
Well, they just... Put like they give
you mean
you,
ARP?
Yeah, ARP. So, yeah,
ARP. Yeah. They
just sorted the accommodation then where they're going to put you and all that.
And where did they put you?
Well, luckily enough, we had relations up in London where we could go and stay in it.
Do you remember where?
Pardon?
Do you remember where in London?
No, I can't remember it.
So this would be what 1943, 1944. You're not sure,
right? No, I'm not too sure on it. No. Then just after that, they evacuated us.
So, where were you evacuated?
Well, the first place, we went to Teignmouth.
To where?
Teignmouth in Devon.
Do you know how you spell it? Just
T-I-G-H, isn't it? Teignmouth.
I've got it. I know where you're
Teignmouth in Devon.
And what was that like?
That was nice because you were out in the country. Well, we'd never see the sea before, innit? Or see cows, innit? But we was there for a little while. Then
now, how did you get a billet? Who sort of do you remember that? How?
Well, our mum come with us. Like, we went down there. And I think we had some relations down there somewhere that we stayed with for a little while. Then we moved on to Yeovil, Somerset.
So this was this an evacuation organised by the government, or was it just organised by your mum?
No, by the government, innit?
It was organised by the government. So what, you don't remember much about Teignmouth then?
No.
So, but with both places, were you staying with relatives?
Yeah. When we went to Yeovil, we stayed there for a little while with relatives. Then we gradually got our own place there.
Now, what did you think of the countryside? Because there's Hampstead Heath, there's plenty of floating down around here.
Yeah.
But what did you think of it when you got actually into the country proper?
Well, it was great. We could run anywhere we liked there, couldn't you? Because you weren't getting bombed down there and nothing. You know, Yeovil, Somerset was a nice, quiet place.
And what did you think of the country itself? You know, just farming, the scenery, that thing.
The scenery was great. When we see cows and that, we nearly fell through the ground looking at them. But like your mother and all that, they went to work and we went to school down there.
And what do you remember of your education down there?
Well, I went to the first one, the infant school I went to, was a place called Hewish. Alex Stock, Alex Stock, the football manager. Well, his wife was the our artist teacher there. It was right next to opposite Yeovil Town football ground. And after that, when I left there, I went to Summerlees Park then.
Now, how did you do at school? What did you think of school?
Well, we had different things to them. Like, we'd done the London papers and they'd done their papers. It was different, altogether.
How was it different? Do you remember?
Well, our exams are different than their exams. They thought ours was easy, we thought theirs was easy.
And so what subjects did you like or were good at or didn't like and were bad at, you know?
I didn't like many of them, I don't think. I liked the sport and that, but didn't play much of it.
So you weren't much of a one for school?
No. Well, you got down there, they didn't like you very much, did they?
Who didn't?
Well, the locals and that. We called them country bumpkins and then all that. And they,
so these are the local children?
Yeah.
Now, did it lead to... How did you get... Tell us a bit more about that, because we're interested in that.
Oh, we used to fight like anything at school and that. You used to, like... If you was a evacuee, you used to stick on your own and that, like your brothers, sisters, and anybody else who's with you, like who's evacuated out with you.
Were the fights bad, or was it just...
No, kids' fights, really. Nothing much.
Now, how long were you in Yeovil?
I come back... Let's have a look. I can't remember, really. Because we come back... When I come back, I went to my uncle's pub. He had a pub in Edmonton. And I went in there as a barman.
Was the war...
No, the war finished then.
So you came back in 45, probably?
Yeah.
Do you remember VE Day in Yeovil then? I mean,
yeah.
What do you remember it?
They had a big carnival, everything and all that. Because my sister was in the carnival and all that. They had floats, like how they do in the countryside and all that.
And were the street parties as well?
Yes.
What were they like? What do you remember?
They were great. The street parties. We've never seen anything like it.
What
before.
Was a street party? Because they don't really have them now, do they?
I mean,
what was a street party? A good proper street party like that?
They had all the tables laid out, all along the street. Everybody used to come out to all the houses, isn't it? There was so much grub you'd never seen before in your life. Something you'd never seen before was laid on the table, you used to look at it. But when we was down there, the Americans come down to Yeovil. That's the first time we ever see the Americans, isn't it?
So what do you think of them?
Well, they were all right to us, isn't it? What we used to do is go up their camp, sit by their camp, and try and get chewing gum and biscuits off them.
And did they oblige?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we told them a lie once that my mum done laundry and they turned up with two lorries loaded of washing for her. And she was a bit surprised when they knocked on the door. So we had to hide for a couple of hours. But she'd done it in the end. She started doing their washing for them and that. Yeah, and they got on well.
So you like the Americans?
Yeah, they was all right. It was good as gold, you know. Well, we first see our coloured one there, you know, coloured. And we sat amazed looking at him. And he'd say, come and touch my face, come and touch my face. And we'd go, no, no. Then in the end, we'd go and touch it, see if the old black come off on you. But it was good, you know, because that's the first time I ever seen a colour bloke.
Anything else while you were in the Oval, before you came back to Edmonton?
Not really, I don't suppose, no.
So tell me about, so you came back to London, started working in the bar.
Yeah.
Well,
I was in the Oval, I volunteered for the Navy. That's where I first volunteered. Well, I was in the Oval.
How old were you then?
I suppose about 16, I suppose. Because I had to go to Exeter for the exam and Bristol for the medical. Two different places.
Now, we've obviously got the dates a bit wrong. So you didn't come back in 45. You came back way after that. So tell me about your attempt. You were still in Yeovil right up to the 1950s East. So tell me about... you were working as a panel beater.
Apprentice panel beater.
Tell us about that before we go on to the Navy thing.
Well, your panel beating, you was only apprentice there. I was only getting about £3 a week.
What does a panel beater do? Don't say beat panels.
No, what it is, when the car comes in with a smash on it, you're like, you do the wings and whatever, wings and that. You have a sandbag and like your rubber hammer and knock the dents out of it, then do it all over. But the bloke who was teaching me, he left, so I had to go, like, the bloke had a car carpet place in there. So I went into that, you know, making car carpets for the bloke. I mean, Mum used to do the old sewing around the edging of the carpets.
Now, were you enjoying the work as an apprentice panel beater? Or?
No, it was somewhere where you was in a dead-end job, really, you know.
How long did you do it for?
Well, since I left school. I left school at 14.
So that's about 49.
Yeah.
And, late 49, yeah. And you started, and you worked at the panel beater through about 15?
Yeah.
And the carpet beater.
Yeah.
Now, tell me about your volunteering to join the Navy. Why did you volunteer to join the Navy?
Well, there was a load of
16.
Us, yeah.
You know.
There was a load of us down there, like mates and all that. And that we was talking about what we want to join in that. Well, there was a couple of blokes went for it. One got it and one never. So I said, well, I'm going to go for it. And his mum turned around and said, well, if my son don't pass it, you ain't going to pass it. So I done it for spite, then I went and passed it. Yeah,
that was in 1950?
Yeah.
Now, but you didn't go in then?
No.
So tell me about...
Because we moved back to London then.
What tests did you have to go through? To you know, why the other bloke fell and you passed?
I don't know. He must have been a bit thicker than I was.
What sort of tests were there?
Well, it was like... which way does the smoke come out of the electric train and all that? What's a light bulb and all that? Where do you put a light bulb in?
So sort of general practical knowledge.
Knowledge like that.
And what about fitness tests or medical?
Oh, medical, that you had to have a stiff medical and all that.
What do you remember that?
Well, bend over, touch your toes and all that. Hang on the bars and all that.
Now, but you didn't join then. Why not?
No. Well, because we were moving back to London then. Because they said there'd be a time before we send for you and that. So, but in that meantime, we moved back to London. And
at Edmonton, isn't it?
Yeah, Edmonton. I went into my uncle's pub, working as a barman there.
So that'd be about what, 1951 or
1950? This is. That's the paper they sent me to join the Navy.
So that's 53.
Yeah. That's when I went in.
So how long were you, cause so from six, how long were you in Edmonton for there? A couple of years?
Yeah, till they said through this paper and that, to join.
Now, tell us about where were you living in Edmonton, with your uncle?
Yeah, in the pub.
Now, tell me about working in a pub, because pubs have changed. What was it like?
Well, you had a snug, you know, like for the old boys and all the old girls and that. Most of it was all pump beer. You said, like, you used to get the wooden barrels come in, and you had to put finers in, you know, like they called it finers. You pour that in, all the old froth and the old dirt and shit would come out of it. Then what you had to do then, you had a ute hanging up, or any drainage would come out the pub, you just go in that ute, and then when you pulled the pump, you take so much out of there and so much out the barrel.
The old tricks.
Yeah, oh yeah.
And what was it like working there? I mean, what was the pub like? You know,
it was hard hours, long hours.
What hours?
Well, when it opened to when it shut. But the thing, well, it wasn't open all day.
Did it stick to hours in those days?
Yeah, oh yeah, very strict with the hours.
So that would be lunchtime and evening.
Yeah, and evening. But you only got one afternoon off a week. That's all they let you have. Well, there was a lot of work, you know, like Mondays you're up cleaning all the pipes out, you know, pumping the soda through the pipes, clearing all them so there was nothing, you know, all the stuff was out of it. But, you know, like the people themselves, most of them were like barrow boys and all that coming in there.
Was it a friendly pub or did it get a bit rough?
Oh, no, a friendly pub, yeah. Well, we had a dog there, made sure it wouldn't get it rough.
What a big
Alsatian, yeah.
And what about your drinking habits? I mean, you were, did you drink at all? You're a bit underage, but...
No, I didn't drink anything.
Not at all?
No.
And what would you do for amusement living? I mean, a young lad about 60, what?
You could only go to cinemas, pictures, innit? They had no girlfriend or nothing, you know. Just went to pictures.
Did you go to dance halls and things like that?
No. I just got to watch Tottenham play.
Were you a Tottenham man?
Oh, yeah, still am.
And so did you play sport at all?
No, only darts. That was a lot like when I come out of the Navy, we started playing darts.
Oh, so that's later, yeah. What about, how else, I mean, did you have any hobbies or anything, or, you know, big hobbies or Boy Scouts or anything like that?
No. No, more work than anything, you know, in the pub, isn't it? You didn't have time for much of that.
So you were called up in March 53, was it?
Yeah.
Now, tell me about the
September.
September, sorry, I misremembered. That's on. So why we? How did that call up work? This isn't a call up under conscription. It's call up after you'd volunteered.
After I volunteered, it came from Charing. I had to go to Charing Cross. On the day, like they said, report to Charing Cross and that. And like my dad come down, well, my stepfather come with me, and the bloke said, you know, like, right, this is it. If you sign the paper today, you're away, you know. If not, don't waste our time and just leave. So that's the day when I first went to the barracks. It was the day that I signed up on the Charing Cross one.
And you didn't have any second thoughts? You weren't tempted to stay in the bar with your uncle?
No. I thought, you know, you've seen enough of bar and all that. See the world.
Now, where did you have to go to then?
There's a place, it was called Victoria Barracks in Portsmouth.
Now, what you just went there for about 10 days, didn't you?
Yeah, that's where you first got kitted up, you know.
Now, tell me about the kitting up, because it's all changed.
Yeah.
So what happened at Victoria Barracks? What exactly did they do when you got there?
Well, when you got there, like, they just looked at you and said, oh, your size, so and so and so and so.
They didn't measure you?
No, just give you the gear to go, this is it. Then when they give you the blue collar, nobody could work it out, because we thought that was fixed on your suit. But it wasn't, you had to put it on separate. And you'd see the state she's got in trying to put that on. And tie the rope round your stomach and be going, is that right and that right? Then when you had it on, the jacket, to get it off, your mate to pull it over your head to get it back off of you.
Now, what other gear did you get? Do you remember?
But we had the black hat then.
Black hat?
The black hat. You wore a black hat then, not the white ones. You know, you had HMS on it. You know, then the big pair of boots. Then when they let you go home, like, you had to be there after a couple of days and it, or a week and it, then they let you home for a weekend.
Now, so they kitted you out. How did they treat you? What was the reception like? Because, you know, you're joining the services.
You had to call everybody sir this, sir that.
Was there a lot of shouting and bawling?
Oh, yeah. They used to make you cry, innit? Usually the kids crying at night, they want to go home, calling for their mum, I want to go home. But, well, you had the Wren's barracks and all there, half and half, yeah.
Were you bothered, or you've been away from home?
I wasn't bothered at all, no.
So you didn't get homesick?
No. No, I was looking forward to going away.
And, so you got kitted out. What about things like haircuts and things? Because hair was very important in the 50s.
They made you have a good haircut.
And how was yours then?
Well, mine, I had like a DA.
So you had one of the fashionable ones?
Yeah, I had a DA.
So how did you Can you describe what a DA is? Because what's it stand for?
Well, the side, you used to get the side right back, then when on the back of it, you used to like put comb it down the middle, so you like you had to, like wings, look like a duck's arse, you know. That's why they got it a DA.
Now, what? I mean, were you proud of your haircut?
Oh yeah,
because a lot of people were, because people aren't now, but
we used to have like sideboards and all that. But as soon as you got there, there's a go. Right, we'll have you, boy. Come with me in here, in the barber. And you sit down. Oh, no, all the lot.
What was the trimmer? The electric trimmer. And what did they give you? Did they give you a short back and sides?
Yeah, short back and sides. No, short back and sides. No.
Did you mind?
Well, I did, because it took a long time to grow it. But now you can't worry now.
But so did you accept that it was going to happen, or did you kick against it?
No. You just took it, you know.
You knew it was going to
happen.
Yeah. And you knew you'd volunteer.
Yeah.
So anything else happened at Victoria Barracks? You're only there a few days.
Yeah.
So I understand that.
Well, you had to go guard duties and that.
Well, tell us about guard duty. We'll pick that up now.
Well, you used to go there and they used to put you on the Wren's place. And you used to, like the Wren's, like the Queen Anne's nurses were there and all that. But when they used to come back drunk at night, they used to look for the sentry. And if you used sentry that night, you used to hide. They'd always shout out, "Where's the sentry? Come on, sentry." Then in the morning, you used to have to wake the cook up and that. But walking through, your eyes used to nearly fall out of your head. To walk in their rooms and looking at all the wrens laying there. Yeah, it wasn't bad. You know, once you got out there, then it was good. You know.
Anything else about Victoria Barracks? What were your rooms like, barrack rooms? Do you remember? Or should we deal with that later?
It was just one big mess. One big dormitory.
So that's that. You were there, you know, a week or so, and then you went to the Implacable. Now, what's the Implacable? That's now you go there.
Implacable is an aircraft carrier.
Now that's an actual ship.
Yeah.
You know. Now you don't seem to have been trained at all.
Well, that is it. The training was on the Implacable.
It was a training ship.
Yeah. Well, there was two, the Indefatigable and the Implacable. They were both down in Portland.
Now, what were your first impressions? Because it's a big aircraft carrier.
Oh, yeah,
it's big.
Yeah. I think it was one of the biggest ones we had then, Implacable.
Now, what were your first impressions when you got there?
It's just shocked to see the size of it. When you looked at it, because it was anchored out in Portland Harbour and that. They took you out there with all your kit and that on board. That's when you first start sleeping in hammocks. Then that was a laugh.
Now, before you do the hammock, tell us about the mess deck, because you'd be in a specific mess deck.
Yeah,
You weren't. Were you boys or were you?
I was an ordinary seaman.
Ordinary.
I joined, yeah.
Now, so you weren't in the boys deck. So tell us about your mess deck. What was it like? Because people cannot imagine what a mess deck's like now.
It was all hammock bars and all that. There was no bunks, nothing.
How big?
I suppose on a carrier, you had about 30 or 40 people in a mess.
And how big would the room be physically, roughly? I mean, I know you...
Well, about 12 by 12, something
so
like
pretty
that.
Pretty crowded,
yeah.
The 30 odd people.
Yeah.
Now, would you have tables and chairs in there as well? You know, what would you have in there?
Well, you have tables and chairs. That's all.
And then the mess bar.
The bars for your hammocks.